back to Hype Podcast. This is Hypeable.com's flagship show where we bring you all the latest news in entertainment and pop culture every week. My name is Pamela and I'll be your host again. Selena's still MIA. Don't worry, she'll be back soon. But to make up for her absence, I am welcoming back our fearless Hypeable-er slash podcaster extraordinaire, Mr. Andrew Sims.
Hello.
So excited you're here.
Yeah, it's good to be here. It's been a while since I've been on Hype. I'm good. I've had a busy week with my family visiting, but I'm getting back in the hypeable zone. We had some big hypeable news earlier this week, which we'll talk about. So I'm good.
Yeah, it's a good week for you to be on, I think.
Yeah, it is a perfect week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know our listeners hear you on various other programs throughout the week, but
yeah.
Always nice to have you back here.
No, yeah, it's good to be here.
Sweet. So we have like a tiny little bit of a shorter show this week, just so you guys know, a little bit of a heads up, but we still have a lot of big news to cover, so we're just going to jump right into it, and we're going to start off, as always, with our signature How We Hype segment. This is where they tell you about everything we've been doing in pop culture over the past week. Andrew, I will let you go first. What have you been hyping about?
Well, I had a late night last night. We're recording on Friday. Thursday night was very exciting for a nerd like me. First of all, Super Mario Odyssey came out. This is the new game for Nintendo Switch. It's the first open world Mario game since like Super Mario Sunshine, which was for GameCube. So it's been a really long time since they've done a really big game like this, Mario game. And so I was so excited that I pre-ordered it. I pre-downloaded it, and I was playing it right at midnight Eastern time when they officially released it, and my gosh, is it good. I was playing for like an hour and a half, and I can't wait to get back in it. It's so beautiful and fun and creative and so much to do. Did you ever play Mario games?
Yeah, I did. I love Super Mario, but we actually haven't been able to get our hands on a Switch yet, but it's like It was definitely the thing that was the most tempting. And yeah. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, if you're a Mario fan, there was really no need to get the Switch until like maybe Mario Kart came out, which I hear is also really fun.
Yes.
I played that at a friend's birthday party a few months ago, and it's just like all of these like things that they're bringing back are super, super cool. And I love that everybody's like really into it, because there's always the potential that they'll be bad.
Yeah.
Especially with something big like Super Mario Odyssey that everybody's kind of been highly anticipating. But it's good to know that you as a super Mario fan are happy with the outcome.
They did a good job. Nintendo did it again. I'm very impressed. I tend to stick with only the Nintendo games, like the Nintendo made games. So Mario Kart, like you mentioned, Splatoon, that's a really good game. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is just incredible. So anyway, and then hours later was the iPhone 10 pre-order, and I decided to get on that hype train. And
it's been an expensive few weeks for you.
I know. Seriously, my credit card is tragic right now. I need to stop. I was thinking earlier today, you know what? The first thing I'm going to cut back on is going to bars for like the next month. I need to stop. But it went pretty smoothly, actually. And I heard similar success stories from others, friends of mine who also pre-ordered. So Apple, I think, is getting better at it. There were rumors that it was going to be really hard to pre-order and get your phone on launch day because there have been production issues with the new Face ID thing. But it went well, and I'm getting it release day. And I know a couple other people who are also getting it release day. So it worked.
Well, I hope you and the new iPhone are happy together. It's a little too rich for my blood, honestly.
I hope so, too. My God, is it expensive.
I know. My brother works at Apple now, and he was like, you know, like everybody that works there is kind of like an Apple fanboy or fangirl anyway. And so like so many of the employees are getting on the hype, too. And he for a while thought that he was going to. He was like, you know what? I think I can wait.
Yeah,
like he's not going to do it, even though they're like ripe for the picking at his location. But
right. Yeah. And I part of the reason I bought it is because I was also kind of thinking about flipping it on eBay. Because, you know, if you get a phone on release day, that's really rare. So people sell their phones on eBay, especially if you're getting them on release day. I was looking at the prices. People are selling them for like $2,000. I could get $2,000. I know, but I also really want the phone, so.
Well, that's good. I mean, like, I feel like either way you win. So, like, yes. If you can't sell it, then you'll have this cool phone.
But exactly.
If you can, then more money in your pocket.
Yeah.
Maybe you can go to the bar after all.
Right. Yeah, that's true. What have you been doing this week?
So we're not doing TBS Show of the Week this week, so I wanted to just let you guys know that I finally tuned in to the new season of Once Upon a Time. Andrew, do you have shows that you just can't quit? Because I feel like Once Upon a Time is that show for me. Like, I want to quit it, but I just keep coming back, and I don't know why. Yeah. I do this to myself.
I think I got to that point with True Blood at one point. Like, I loved it, but also hated it. It got really bad towards the end, but I had to know how it ended.
Yeah, well, actually, Once Upon a Time is not... It's so funny because they've kind of like revamped the whole season, but they've rebooted it, and it sounded so stupid last season because basically they, like, Henry, who's like the little kid, is now an adult, and his daughter comes to find him, which is kind of like the same thing that happens when the series first picks up in season one. Like, Henry is a kid who goes to find his mom to bring her back to save, like, these storybook characters. Mm. So it sounds like a stupid premise, but it's actually, like, the first two episodes are pretty good. And it, once again, sucked back into this stupid world that I should have quit many, many moons ago.
Yeah.
What can you do?
I've always admired the Once Upon a Time fandom. I know it had a good following on Hypeable for a little while. I think it maybe dwindled a little bit because the show is getting old. It's what, season 6, 7 now?
Yeah. It's amazing that they've... I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they cut it after this season. I feel like it'd be a good place to stop, but it's kind of the show also that never dies. They've kind of made it into a bit of a serial drama, honestly. Like, it's very methodical and also, like, if you've ever been curious about Once Upon a Time, good time to kind of jump in. You wouldn't have to watch, like, anything of the past few seasons if you just kind of wanted to, like, see what all the hype is about or whatever.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so fun little tidbit for those of you guys that are still watching. I'm on this train with you, and we'll see how we get on for the rest of the season.
Guess it depends on the ratings. If they continue to be decent. But it's also on Friday nights now, right?
I know. That's where shows go to die.
Yeah. They
moved it from Sunday to Friday.
That's crazy. Like, it seems like they wanted to die.
I think so. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're going to jump right into the news here. And we have a really exciting gratuitous plug for our site right at the top of the news.
Well, it's a big deal for us and people who have been with us for a while, because more than anything, the number one request we've always gotten is, when are you guys at Hypeable making an app? It's an app world. Come on. And for a while, it was because we didn't really know how to make one or where to look for help. And within the past year, I came across this service, this company that would help us, and the apps that they make look good, and they specialized in, like, news apps. And I was like, it's kind of expensive. Do we really want to invest in this? Blah, blah, blah. And then, so, I don't know, a month or two ago, we were like, okay, let's do it. It's time. So, got to work on this app. And, yeah, so now we have a free app for iOS and Android. Feel free to hit the site for a link to it, or just search those respective app stores for Hypeable and you will find it. It's snappy. It's clean. You get all the latest news. If you're a patron, there's access to the patron dashboard where you could still get your exclusive content. We feature some categories at the top. The comments are still there, by the way. They're a little hidden. There's a speech bubble in the top right of the app on all articles where you can read the comments. But that's where they are, by the way, if you want to look. But yeah, everybody seems really happy with it. And this is the most important part that I'm excited about. We can now send push notifications to people. So I'm really, as a nerd and as a news junkie, I'm really excited that now when, like, big news breaks, we can send people who have the app or who allow push notifications through the website, which we also just launched, They'll get alerted right away. They'll say, we'll say, hey, a new trailer for Fantastic Beasts is out. Hey, God forbid so-and-so died, you know, and they can, you could find out right away.
That's a big one.
Yeah, I mean.
It's like, so-and-so died.
It's important, but everybody wants to know. It's like, you know, these shocking deaths happen.
Yeah, and they like little text messages from your friendly neighborhood hypeable staff, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And for a while, I've always wanted to be within people's notifications, sliding into your notifications, because obviously this is a mobile world. And we have a newsletter, but it's not as appealing as an app is. So we're really excited to have this out there. So check it out. It's free. We would appreciate a positive review so that app stores, you know, think kindly of the Hypeable app. And yeah, you like it, Pam?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I messaged you about it because we, like behind the curtain, have been able to test it out basically all week, right? You've matured, yeah, announced it to staff earlier this week. And it's like, I'm not even just saying this because I work for Hypeable, but it's actually like beautiful. I was really impressed. I don't know what I was thinking, but I was good. Like, oh my gosh, it's great. It's like everything that I want in a homepage. And like Andrew, like I read a lot of news, like throughout the day, hard news, entertainment news, like, you know, you name it. And it's just, the layout is lovely. It like never crashes. It's really easy to navigate. It's really, really great. So if you want to take Hypeable on the go with you, like, could not recommend it anymore because it's way easier to read, like, to your heart's content on, yeah, there.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you like it. Yeah, it is. I've been very pleased by all the reviews from the staff and then the readers, because I guess I've just been looking at it for a while, so I've kind of appreciated it less at this point. But hearing everybody talk about it again, I was like, okay, cool, cool.
Yeah, you feel like you made the right decision.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's so good.
That's the app.
All right. Well, moving into a little bit more bigger news. Disney Channel actually had some really, really big news earlier this week. We actually learned that the series Andy Mack is set to introduce a gay storyline in season 2, which actually premieres on Friday, the day we're recording, October 27th. And this is actually a really big deal because the Disney Channel has kind of like hinted at gay and lesbian like relationships in the past, but nothing ever that's like really addressed the what's the best way to say this? Like the gay storyline that's not like proper. Like, just like there's nothing really that's ever been like, this is what it is. It's always kind of just like in the background, like make your own inferences about what might or might not be happening. But Andy Mack is really kind of addressing this issue full on, which is really, really wonderful for the network because as great as the programming is on there for young kids, they have been struggling in terms of, you know, making sure that they're representing a diverse group of kids and issues that teens and tweens are actually facing today. So in the season opener, which again premieres on October 27th, Andy, who's the main character, she's 13. She has a crush on a boy in her class, but the plot twist is her best friend Cyrus might also have a crush on the same boy. And episode is set to kind of serve as a springboard for a path of self-discovery for his character in particular. And as the season goes on, he'll kind of come to terms with the fact that he is in fact gay and it's not just a phase, and the show will then deal with kind of his, like him figuring out his identity, which I think is like super important, especially for kids, you know, the demographic for this show. It's like really lovely that they're not afraid to show that anymore. But what do you think about this? I'm really curious about your thoughts.
Yeah, well, like you said, TV shows, particularly for children, haven't addressed gay characters or gay storylines head on. And what you were just talking about here, the fact that this is going to stretch over an entire season, this isn't like a one-time character. This is going to be ongoing. And that's huge because kids who watch the show are going to be receiving repeated reminders about gay people. So, you know, if you're a kid, I guess, I don't know what the age of people who would be watching this, 12 years old or so, like maybe you see it one episode or you miss that episode. But if you see it, it happens for one episode. So then you forget it a couple episodes later. But this is ongoing. So it's like repeated and will hopefully pave a way towards more acceptance of LGBT people, and getting the kids at a young age to accept LGBT people as normal, as, you know, it's okay to be gay. Like, I think that'll be really significant. So this is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of works both ways, because when you're that age specifically, like 12 years old, like you said, it's like either it's easy to be scared of somebody who's maybe different than you, or, you know, likes girls or likes boys or whatever. So if the show can show other kids that it's okay if they know someone who's gay, or, you know, or yeah, shows them how to deal with accepting those people, or even like shows some young gay or lesbian kid that like there are other people like them, like that they can see on TV that are struggling with the same thing, trying to figure out what their sexual identities are, then that's like, that's really important. If it helps like even one person, I think that this is great. And they're working as well with GLAAD and things like that to make sure that the storyline is accurately portrayed, which I think is also really important, because,
oh cool,
yeah, like it sounds like they're taking the necessary steps to make sure that this is done well, and good for them.
Yeah. This could be a study in how children's television starts normalizing gay people. I could imagine that college classes may at one point look at this season to see how this character was introduced and how his sexuality played into the show. Because I think this will be a learning lesson for viewers and, you know, critics alike, or just people who study television. So I'm kind of interested. I kind of want to watch just to see how they're going to do it.
Yeah, same. Totally. And it's like, it's kind of like, you kind of know going into it, you're not going to please everybody, but yeah, I'll still be curious to see how it goes. Yeah. And I'm sure it's like going to be a I can only see the show doing better now that they've introduced this, because people are kind of looking for that progressive facet of shows for all ages.
So. Yeah, because you think about like people our age, believe it or not, Pam, are having kids now, and those same people are cool with the gays.
Yeah,
so,
we're cool with the gays. We want them to live next door to us. We want to, like, right, you know, hang with the gays. Or
so if we had kids, we'd be totally fine with them seeing this TV show. Whereas I think, you know, there's going to be some backlash. Some groups are going to be like, why are they doing this? They shouldn't do this.
Yeah, like the Laura Mallorys of the world.
Right, right. You know? But they don't have young kids anymore watching Disney Channel. So who cares? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's have the fun. Just go sit in your corner and be the fun sucker.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of fun sucker, the world's first Hunger Games theme park has opened in Dubai. It's part of a Lionsgate theme park. So technically, this Hunger Games park is a land, like how the Wizarding World of Harry Potter is a land within Universal Orlando. This opened earlier this week. Like I said, it's the first one. There have been rumors there are going to be others, including one in Atlanta, but we haven't heard an update on that one for a while, so who knows if it actually will get built. But so there's been a lot of backlash around this as it was first announced and getting built and all that, because it's like, does anybody really want to go to a theme park to go into a dystopian world like District 12 and the Capitol? And so now that it's open, we've finally seen some photos from within the park. There is a Capitol Bullet Train, which is a roller coaster. There's a Pan Am Aerial Tour, which looks like a slow-moving ride that kind of surrounds you with screens. It reminds me of like King Kong at Universal. And then there's Pita's Bakery, which I am cool with. I think that's great. But it's only like a little shack. It's nothing spectacular. There's also a coal miners show where the coal miners play some tunes in front of what looks like one of the District 12 buildings. And peacekeepers are around. Notably, a couple of actors from the Hunger Games shot footage for these attractions. Elizabeth Banks reprised her role as Effie, and Stanley Tucci reprised his role as Caesar Flickerman. I just It seems... So Lionsgate obviously wants to try and extend this franchise. The Hunger Games was huge. They want it to be like a Harry Potter. But it's just not going to be because of the story. And when the final two Mockingjay movies came out, the fandom, I swear, just died. Like, right in the middle of the two Mockingjay movies. And the box office for Mockingjay Part 2 was not good compared to Part 1. I believe Part 1 did better than Part 2. People just don't really... It just doesn't have a lasting appeal. We all liked the movies and, of course, the books. We loved the characters and all that. But do we need a theme park years after the books and movies? I don't think so. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, I totally agree with you. And it's so funny because even when Harry Potter ended, I was kind of worried about the lasting legacy of Harry Potter, because there's always going to be crazies like you and me and all of our friends that will always love anything that gets put out because, like, sentimental value, right? But even I wondered, like, oh, is Universal, like, just shooting themselves in the foot? Like, not that it matters because they have all the money, but, like, is this just going to get paved over like Islands of Adventure, you know, 20 years down the line? But this past summer when, you know, Harry, like, celebrated his huge milestone, it's kind of like the first time that I realized that, like, Harry Potter's lasting legacy is kind of, like, intact and
yeah,
we won't, I mean, like, I feel like in our lifetime it'll still be around, all this stuff like the Leavesland tours and the theme parks and things like that. So I don't worry about Harry's legacy anymore, but at the same time, it has been a few years since the Hunger Games hit theaters, and unless they're really seriously thinking about revamping the series and doing spinoffs on, like, you know, like they've talked about, like, movie spinoffs before and stuff like that, I don't see something like this or even something in Atlanta lasting longer than maybe 2 decades before right. people kind of just forget. And also, like, what a depressing story. Like, do you really want to, yeah. like, you're going to, like, the coal miners dance when in the books, like, they were basically, like, slave laborers and, like, half of them died in that big explosion.
Right. Right. It was horrible. It's a dystopian world, and some would argue that we currently live in a dystopian world. So we don't need the Hunger Games. I am convinced, thanks to the theme park and the 20th anniversary celebrations, like you mentioned, that Harry Potter really is around for the long haul. It has people's hearts. You know, I'm on the dating scene, and people still mention Harry Potter and, like, their profiles, and I love that. I mean, people.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say, like, people find you because.
Oh,
MuggleCast.
Well, that too. I get occasional messages every once in a while.
Oh man, you're a hot commodity.
But no, people not only do they love it, they are proud of their love for it, and so I think that's going nowhere in the theme parks for decades. I don't think. Hunger Games. Yeah, I mean, 10 years maybe. I could see this being of interest to people, if that. I just can't imagine 10 years from now being like, oh, remember the Hunger Games? But yeah, I think there is a hope to do those tournament spinoff films as well. It's just, it's been a few years now, yeah. So we should hear about it soon if they're actually going to do it.
I will say, like, look, if you were, like, you enjoyed the Hunger Games and you happen to be in Dubai, like, why not just go? Because I've been to, like, we have both been to, like, pop-ups at Comic-Cons and things like that. I've been to the Hunger Games tour. They do a really great job of, like, immersing the fans into that world. And, like, it's worth it just to go see the costumes sometimes if they have any of those on display. But, yeah, it's just one of those things where it's kind of like, why are you wasting your time? Why don't you do something that's a little more long-lasting? Because even, like, if you look at some of these other Lionsgate entities that they're thinking about putting into this, like, Lionsgate theme park, I can't imagine any of these movies being around in 10 years, like, enough for right. people to care to actually want to go.
Yeah, and you kind of hit on something there. Like, if you're in Dubai, sure, but, like, who's going to make a trip to go to this? Whereas people make a trip to go to the Wizarding World because it's Harry Potter.
Exactly.
Anyway, so that's open now. And we'll see what happens with the Atlanta one, if that happens. But the little sidebar, Lionsgate is putting together, like, this new entertainment venue in Times Square that's opening, I think, in 2019. And it's going to have, like, a couple Hunger Games attractions. Not a coaster. It's going to have Hunger Games attractions. It's going to have a Divergent thing. It's going to have a John Wick thing. So that is actually happening, actually announced. Whereas that Atlanta thing, who knows?
Well, in other news, Taylor Swift is out to build a new legacy for herself. We are actually just a few weeks away from getting our hands on Reputation, which is her highly anticipated forthcoming album. And she's hit us with a brand new music video for her second single off of the album called Ready For It. I really like this song a lot. I think that, like, have you, I don't know if you've heard, like, the three that she's released. So she's released Ready For It, Gorgeous, and what is it? Look What You Made Me Do. And I feel like Ready For It is, like, my fave. But this music video just came out of nowhere. It's, like, super futuristic, and, like, it's just Taylor, no co-stars. And, like, it's, like, her versus, like, this robot Taylor that's, like, half naked most of the time. And, like, she just keeps, like, shifting. And I don't know what to make of this. And maybe I'm just reading too much into it. But I'm watching this, like, what does this mean, Taylor? This has nothing to do with the song. Mm-hmm. So is it, like, a deeper, like, type message that you're trying to convey that relates back to the album? Who knows? Yeah. We'll know on November 10th. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess it is still a mystery what the overall message is here, but I thought the music video was edgy. It was not the Taylor we're used to. It was entertaining to watch, though, and I mean, I do like that there's some shock value here. It's like not the Taylor we used to know. Remember, she can't pick up the phone right now because she's dead. I think the naked-looking Taylor Swift in there was pretty shocking. And I also just kind of, every time I see one of these new edgy Taylor Swift moments, I just think of her younger fans because she has so many younger fans. And what are they thinking about this? Like, I have a cousin who's like 10 or 11. She loves Taylor Swift. And is she watching this? Like, I don't know if this is the right direction for her right now.
Yeah, but also, like, is she listening to it? Because, like, some of these lyrics are very steamy.
Right.
Like, Taylor gets drunk now and she hits on guys. Like, this is what we know.
Yeah. With that said, I do like Look What You Made Me Do, both the song and the music video. And I do like this Ready For It. I don't like the most recent song, Gorgeous. It just seems basic. And every time I hear it, I try to listen to it without thinking that it's Taylor Swift. And I'm like, would this be a hit if it wasn't Taylor Swift? Probably not.
Yeah, the thing with Gorgeous that really, like, bothers me, that makes me grapple with the idea of the song, is I like the verses, but I don't like the chorus. And the chorus is, like, the part that's going to get stuck in your head. And I totally agree. It's, like, very basic. And Taylor's, like, a queen of simplicity when it comes to lyrics. But, like, she's always been able to figure out how to be profound, even if she's just talking about having a crush on a guy. So I was, like, very disappointed that she wasn't able to come up with something a little bit better. And maybe it's just, like, it might not be all just her. Like, I have enjoyed in the past her collaborations with Jack Antonoff, but maybe it's just, like, too much Jack and Taylor, you know?
I so agree with that. My brother loved Jack Antonoff and his band The Bleachers. Mm-hmm. And I was just absolutely obsessed. And you're right. He has been all over Taylor Swift these past two albums, including this one coming out. And I think it's too much. I think she needs to go somewhere else.
I know. Who I think she should go back to is Max Martin, or maybe go over to Greg Karsten, who's been working with, like, Sia and Adele. And who else did he work with most recently? Oh, the Foo Fighters. Like, I would love to see her team up with somebody like that.
It's always interesting to hear Pam talk music because she knows her stuff.
I talk too much music. You should just, like, shut me up.
No.
I think you wanted to bring up something, like, else that's music related, right?
Maybe. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to mention that Kelly Clarkson's new album is out today, Meaning of Life. It surprised me, actually. I thought it was coming out in November, but here it is. I listened to it this morning. It's good. I need a second listen to digest it all, but I like the singles that have been released so far. She also, last week, released a Christmas Eve song, and I really like that. But yeah, so at the same time, she released this new album, and it's good. I don't know if there's a song on here that's like her Since You Be Gone or another Stronger or another Breakaway or Because of You. Like, she has so many amazing hits, and I'm not seeing that one stand out on here yet. I guess Love So Soft would be it. But, yeah, I'll give it some more listens. Gotta love Kelly Clarkson. What's not to love?
Yeah, I'm really excited to check this out. I want to listen to this, and I want to listen to the new Pink album. I heard Pink's album is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I gave that a listen. Gave it a spin last week. I did. Yeah, it was different. It was different. It was chill to listen to. It was relaxing.
Oh, that's really cool. Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Check
so,
that out sometime this week.
One more story as we approach Halloween. The director of The Nightmare Before Christmas, Henry Selick, revealed whether the movie is a Halloween movie or a Christmas party or a Christmas movie. This debate always comes up. It's a good question because it seems to toe the line somewhere in between. And he said recently at a Q&A that it is a Halloween movie. He was a little nervous to introduce this answer because he was like, oh boy, it's a Halloween movie. And he didn't really explain further, but I think that makes sense because it's called The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's happening before Christmas, and it starts around the Halloween season, and thus it is a Halloween movie. Now, that said, I much prefer watching it during Christmas.
You know what? I think I do too. Like, I never think to watch it during Halloween because I'm always like, I'm going to watch a Halloween movie. It's going to be Hocus Pocus, right? Like,
right, of course.
But yeah, I mean, like, why not both? That's how I feel about The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's just it's so funny. But I love that the fans are so passionate.
Yeah, I'm glad he doesn't take like diplomatic route and be like, it is both. He's just being honest. It's Christmas. Or it's Halloween. But, a lot of people were debating this. A lot of people on Twitter. Because our article got picked up in one of those Twitter moments pages. So it was getting hotly debated in our mentions. And a lot of people were kind of disappointed by the news. Because I think most people think it is a Christmas movie. But look, the director, he gets to decide what it is. He was responsible for it. He, I guess, had it in his head the whole time that it's a Halloween movie.
Let's just wait for Tim Burton to chime in or something.
Right.
Watch Tim Burton comes out and says, it's a Christmas movie. And then everyone's going to be like, but what does this mean?
Yeah. So that's
fun
that.
Stuff. Yeah. Well, that does it for the news this week. I told you guys it was going to be a short and sweet show.
I like it. In and out.
Yeah, I know. I know you like it. I know you like it short and sweet.
Back to Mario. I mean working.
You're too much. Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for hopping on Hype with me. We love hearing what your thoughts are on the latest news, and hopefully you'll be back soon.
Yeah, nice to pop in. Always nice to talk to you and Selena.
Yeah, she'll be sorry she missed you. And
yeah, I know.
Of course, you can catch Andrew weekly on his other podcasts, MuggleCast and Millennial. You're still doing both weekly, right?
Yeah, yep. Rock and Roll weekly.
Love both shows. So if
for
some
good.
Weird reason, you don't listen to either, which, like, get out of here. Lies. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Please go check them out.
And please download the app. Available in
That's
the iOS
right.
and Android app stores.
Available now for free.
And please allow push notifications. Well, the notifications will only be occasional. We'll aim for one a day. Maybe two if there's a breaking news story we want to get out to you as well. But allow those and you'll never miss a hot fandom story.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back. This show's coming out early this coming week. The first week of November. Selena and I will be back the second week of November, hopefully, for another regular episode. Until then, if you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us in a myriad of ways. For starters, if you have shorter comments, you can always reach us via Twitter. We are at Hypeable Hype on there. We're also at Hypeable Hype on Instagram, where we sporadically post about the pop culture adventures we're having when we're not recording. If you want to send us longer comments, you can do so via email. Our email address is hype@hypeable.com. And for everything else, head over to hypeable.com to stay up to date on the latest news. Thanks again for listening.
I just have to say, it's so much easier to sit back and not host it. Like, don't have to do all that outro promo plug stuff.
That's so true.
Yeah.
You're a pro at this point, right? Though you just kind of like have your spiel and you're like, okay, yeah, let me do this in one breath.
Yours is tighter than mine, though.
How many things do you have to list off for like MuggleCast now?
Well, not about the same that you do, but I just, I don't know. I don't have it as finely rehearsed as you do.
Oh, man.
Not to say you have it rehearsed. It's just tight. Good job.
It's usually Selena that does it, so I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. we'll stop complimenting each other, but until next time, my name is Pamela.
And I'm Andrew.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.